ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। परम आत्मानम एव च आत्मा पुनर्बहिर्मृग्या हो गया जनथाग्यथा। जस्ट सी द फूलिशनेस ऑफ दोज इग्नोरेंट पर्सन्स हु कंसिडर यू टू बी सम सेपरेटेड मैनिफेस्टेशन ऑफ इल्यूजन and who consider the self, which is actually you, to be something else, the material body. Such fools conclude that the Supreme Soul is to be searched for somewhere outside of your Supreme Personality. Purport by the followers of His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Brahma is amazed at the gross ignorance of conditioned souls who consider Lord Krishna's supreme spiritual body to be material. Ignorant of the spiritual form of the Lord, such persons also consider their own material bodies to be the self. And therefore they conclude that spiritual reality is to be found somewhere beyond the Supreme Personality of Lord Krishna. Sometimes such fools consider Lord Krishna to be one of many individual souls who together constitute a single impersonal spiritual entity. Unfortunately, such speculators are not inclined to hear from the Lord Himself or from the Lord's authorized representatives, such as Lord Brahma. Because they whimsically speculate on the nature of the Supreme, their ultimate result is confusion and ignorance, which they euphemistically describe as the mystery of life. Translation. Just see the foolishness of those ignorant persons who consider you to be some separated manifestation of illusion and who consider the self, which is actually you, to be something else, the material body. Such fools conclude that the Supreme Soul is to be searched for somewhere outside your Supreme Personality. Lord Brahma is expressing his great amazement of the power of Maya. The illusory energy of the Lord, for those who, with humility and devotion, approach Lord Sri Krishna, then with the power of innumerable suns, he dispels all the darkness of ignorance within our lives. Krishna is all powerful. When he appeared in this world, he demonstrated just small samples of his supreme power, how he lifted the Govardhan Hill with the weakest part of his entire body, the little finger of his left hand, Of course, Krishna's body is not like ours. Every aspect, every particle of his body is all powerful and supreme. How he was able to swallow all-consuming, devastating forest fires. Krishna, he showed his supreme mastery over all of the elements. The five gross elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, are very, very powerful. If any one of them comes out of control, it creates utter devastation. And no human being, even great armies with great technologies, can do nothing about it. Just like, for instance, I just received a letter from America describing that there was just very recently there was big hurricanes in, I believe, South Florida, Louisiana, heading toward Hawaii. All these old people, they go there to retire. They save all their money throughout their lives. Can you imagine? They work like asses their whole life through, wasting the valuable energy of human existence just to save money, thinking that with this money, when I'm old, I will be able to retire and live happily. But when you're old, how can you live happily? If you think you're this body, arthritis, you cannot eat properly, cannot digest properly, cannot see properly, cannot hear properly, and yet they're saving up their whole life just to peacefully try to enjoy this old age. But at least they feel they'll have some security. Because after all, you know, in the United States of America, there is no idea that the son remains with the parents and maintains them when they're old. As soon as the child is finished with his schooling, he leaves the parents and maybe a few times a year visits. The child is on their own, and the parents are on their own for the rest of their life. They have to somehow or other make enough money to invest in some situation where there's some security, where they'll have some place to stay. So here in these places, it's nice climate, beautiful weather, no cold winters, southern Florida. And it is the favorite place in all of America for people when they're old to retire. They work so hard. They put it all in funds by which they have a nice little house. They have a nice little garden. And here comes this hurricane and completely destroyed all the homes of these old people. Tens and thousands are homeless. They're as good as the beggars now, sleeping in the streets. Just see how Krishna smashes your plans for security when you waste your human form of life. You know, with all the great powers of the United States of America, with all their money and all their technology and all their politics, when the hurricane comes, what can they do? If a hurricane comes attacking the White House of the president, all he could do is run for his life and go somewhere else, and the place is destroyed. It doesn't matter. Nothing can stop a hurricane. That is wind. The power of wind. Air. But Krishna showed his mastery over the element of air when Trinavarta came. When Trinavarta came, also Vyomasura. He was also a very, very powerful demon of wind. More powerful. Trinavarta was more powerful than billions of hurricanes. And yet Krishna, when he was only hardly 1 year old, a little baby, he just effortlessly strangled this demon and forced him to fall to the ground and die. Similarly, fire, another all-consuming element. You know, when fire comes, what can you do? Again, I'm speaking in terms of the United States of America, supposedly the most advanced material society, where more than anywhere else in the world, they have control over the elements of material nature, by science and so forth. Huh. Every year, practically the last few years, there has been massive droughts, and hundreds and thousands of acres of the most valuable forest land and agricultural fields have been burnt in all-consuming fires, and all they could do is pray for rain. All their fire brigades cannot put out the fires. Billions of dollars of losses. Last year it happened again. I have been to some of those places in my preaching where you see just massive, massive forests and massive agricultural fields. There's nothing but just charcoal all over the place. We're talking thousands of miles. The second largest city of America just 100 years ago was burned to the ground, Chicago. Nobody could put it out. When fire gets out of hand too much, it's beyond human ability to control. That is the power of fire. And water, here in Bombay, the most highly developed city in India, when it rains too much, everything stops. The airports, with all of their good traffic control people and all of their multi-million dollar jets, they all just sit there in a standstill. The roads are closed, the telephone lines are closed, the bus service is closed, the trains are closed. And what can we do? Huh? What to speak of tidal waves or big massive floods? Recently, where there was that cyclone in Bangladesh, which just completely flooded, millions of people homeless, thousands dead. Huh? Krishna, all-pervading fire, forest fire, he simply inhaled and destroyed it all. And the god of rain himself sent the torrents of rain, not just some Bangladesh cyclone, not just some monsoon in Bombay. He sent the rains of devastation. Krishna effortlessly lifted the Govardhan Hill. It is described the only time for 7 days and seven nights, and the only time he trembled at all was not because of the weight of the hill or the weight of the rains falling upon it. It was because of his being enamored by looking at the beauty of the gopis. Sometimes he would tremble. So how effortlessly he swallowed the fire. He stopped all the rains of Indra. Ultimately, Indra, the lord of water rain, had to come and surrender to him. And as far as earth, such mighty masses of earth, like Aristasura, who was like a mountain. He was actually a moving mountain. Aristasura was so big that the hump on his back was actually in the clouds in the sky. You have seen pictures of mountains so high that the clouds hover on the peaks. Can you imagine if one of those mountains was charging at you as the manifestation of supreme anger in the form of a bull? Such a massive, mountainous, terrible form. And Krishna just effortlessly took him, threw him down and kicked him. Just kicked him with his little feet. And he was destroyed. His eyeballs came out of their sockets. He passed urine and stool simultaneously. He just screamed in agony and died. So in this way, we find that Krishna sowed supreme mastery over all of the elements. And in this way showed Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sachadachanam Hetu Nanini Konte Jagadvi Purivaratite, that he is the supreme master of this material existence. He directs all the activities of Maya. But yet Maya is so powerful. If we surrender to Krishna, he gives us all that power to protect us from Maya. But if we do not surrender to Krishna, then all the power of Maya, who is Krishna's own separated energy, is there to bewilder us, confuse us, and cast us into an ocean of illusion. How is it possible to come out of this snare of Maya? It's impossible without the help of Krishna. Therefore, we find even the greatest scholars of scripture, even the greatest tapasis. Yesterday we were discussing the story of Durvas Muni. He was such a learned scholar, such an incredible yogi, with all mystic perfections. Yet still, he could not over... He was deluded by the power of Maya. He was covered over. He could not understand what is the truth. Param satyam dhimahi. He could not meditate on the truth, the supreme truth of Krishna, Vasudeva. So therefore, unless and until one becomes a truly submissive, humble servant of the Lord's devotees, servant of the servant of the servant, there is no possibility, there is no chance of coming out of the powers of Maya. Whoever we are, Maya is so thorough and complete in how she bewilders the conditioned soul that even in the name of spiritual advancement, as we are so-called advancing and acquiring various perfections, instead of coming out of Maya, through those perfections, she's covering more and more and more our ego with the delusions that keep us from surrendering to Krishna. Therefore, there's only one hope. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Unless we surrender to Krishna, there is no way out of this illusory energy. And Lord Brahma here is describing how incredible this Maya potency is. And you know, it takes one to know one. Just like oftentimes Nathji Prabhu, he tells that because he's a businessman, he knows who's a good businessman. It's like oftentimes he says, Prabhupada, he was so expert at dealing with matters and dealing with things, and because he has to do with these things in business, he could understand Prabhupada's abilities of doing. We may not be able to understand this, but someone who really is very, very experienced and very expert at business matters, they know who a good businessman is. Huh? Right? Someone who is a good politician knows who's a good politician. Someone who's actually a good scholar knows who's a good scholar. Lord Brahma is the supreme creator within this universe. He has created everything that we see, everything that we experience through our senses. Therefore, if anyone knows a good creator, it's Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma is saying here that he's completely amazed. Even though he created by the grace of God all the planets, all the species of life, everything within this creation, he cannot comprehend this illusory potency that has been created by Krishna. It's just too much for him. Even he is completely bewildered by it. The controller and the creator of all the elements of this material world, even he, without surrendering in utter humility to the will of God, Krishna, he cannot overcome this amazing phenomena of Maya. So what is our position? Lord Brahma is the lonely. Not only is he a learned scholar of the Vedas, but he's the original founder of all Vedas. Huh? Not only is he a mystic yogi who can produce some gold or some ashes, he's created planets, all species. Such a mystic yogi Brahma is. Not only is he powerful like us, but he's so powerful that in Brahma Loka, the three modes of material existence do not affect Brahma Loka. It's the only planet within the universe that is like that. So from every point of view, he is superior to anyone. And yet, he is humbly confessing, Krishna, when you want to put your illusory energy on me, I'm just a fool. I cannot protect myself. This is the power of your illusory energy. This is the power of Maya. And we have seen even great, great devotees. Unfortunately, we've seen even within our own movement, powerful devotees renouncing so many things of this world, so powerful in influencing so many people's lives. But if they become a little proud and Krishna just takes away his protection, then the craziest things, and they just completely go into Maya. Just something that wouldn't even attract a single one of us in this room. We have seen renounced people being worshipped and glorified by thousands. And if they want to have some pleasurable relationship, they have a choice of hundreds and hundreds of the best by material standards. And they become completely bewildered by some old woman with three children and a husband. Huh? How is that possible? It's not possible. But if Krishna removes his mercy, Maya in any form can completely bewilder our intelligence. She doesn't even have to come in a good form. In any form. Huh? Vishwamitra Muni, he was such a great soul. Maya came in a very beautiful form for him. Let's see, we see other great renunciates. Hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds are coming just ready to surrender anything and everything. Beautiful young ladies. And they become completely bewildered by some little girl nobody even looks at. Huh? How is it possible? Little pride. Krishna takes away his mercy. We can become completely bewildered by anything. By anything. Maya in any form or any object can completely bewilder your intelligence. Huh? If you don't have Krishna's protection. That is the power of Maya. We're helpless. A devotee realizes he's helpless, and therefore Maya cannot touch him. As long as we think that we're powerful enough to help ourselves, finished. Krishna withdraws his protection. Of course, he does it out of his mercy to teach us a good lesson. And if we learn the lesson, then we can come back to the proper standard. But if we do not learn the lesson, we're helpless. The ocean of material existence, the waves just wash us away, and we just float in that ocean. God knows how long until finally Guru again sends his life raft, and then we have to hold on. We have to hold on in such a way that I'll never let go, because if I let go, I'm finished. If I let go, I'll drown. This is the consciousness of a sincere devotee. He knows that in this material world, we are floating in the ocean of material existence. And it's so deep, and it's so wide, and it's so long, that there's no hope for us to get out of it. And there are so many sharks, and there are so many big waves that will come and batter us up and down. Our only hope is Guru has sent the life preserver of his mercy, and we just have to hold on to it. It's not our ability. We have no power on our own except to just not let go of the power of the mercy of Gurudev. If we let go for a second, you can understand, you'll be finished. We just have to hold on for dear life. Pariprasnena Sevaya. Krishna tells us how to hold on. By inquiring submissively and rendering service. Through these two processes of being submissive in hearing and following those instructions by doing seva, we can never be washed away by the power of Maya. There is no power in all this creation that can bewilder our consciousness. But even when we are holding very tightly, sometimes Krishna allows certain bewilderments and illusions to come into our life just to keep us humble, just to keep us holding on. Huh? Because if we forget, if we don't have these partial bewilderments, then we become proud. We think, I'm advanced, I'm great. We can't do like that. Therefore, Krishna just takes away a little of his power. He basically keeps us under his protection, but takes a little of his away just to bewilder us, just to make us understand that, my God, Maya is so strong. I don't even know what I'm doing. I have to really take shelter. Huh? I really have to surrender. And Maya is so great that even if everyone around you sees that you're completely falling away, and everyone's telling you, still, you think, huh, they don't understand. It's not like that. Everything's actually all right. Huh? This is the power of Maya. We are very good. There's no problem. They just don't understand. How could they understand? I'm actually a very good man, very staunch. This is the power of Maya. Everybody sees when you really become covered over by Maya, you're the last one to know it. Huh? How is that possible? Nobody in this world can do that to you, but Krishna can do that to you. And then pretty soon you realize, they were right. But now it's too late. What to do? Pariprasnena Sevaya. Therefore, we must learn to really, really inquire submissively. I am fool number one, please tell me. And we must really learn how to serve the instructions of Guru and the Vaishnavas. And if we serve in that attitude, Maya can never cover us over. Otherwise, you know, people may think that we're very good devotees, but actually when that final exam comes at the time of death, if there's still those seeds of pride in our heart, we're going to come to the realization that I have made a mistake. My life is wasted. Pariprasnena Sevaya. To inquire submissively with a humble heart and to serve. Tadvidi pranipatina pariprasnena sevaya. Krishna says, if you want to know the truth, very important. The truth is that which is transcendental to illusion. If we are not following this principle of Pariprajñāna Sevaya, inquiring submissively of rendering service, then we are under the spell of illusion. And if we follow this principle, we can understand truth. Janmādya Shāyata, in the first verse of Bhagavatam, Krishna Vyāsadeva explains that Krishna is that Param Satyam. He is the supreme truth that is the controller of all illusion, that is above and beyond and transcendental to all the illusions of this world. Krishna Surya Sa Maya Hoya Andhakar. Krishna is like the sun, Maya is like darkness. If we always hold on to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna by serving his devotees, by chanting his name, then we cannot be covered by the darkness of Maya. But as soon as Krishna is gone, all that's left is darkness. When the sun sets, there's darkness everywhere. When we forget Krishna, we're in Maya. Srila Prabhupada used to tell us, there's only two things, there's Krishna and there's Maya. If you're not remembering Krishna, you are in Maya. If the sun is not there, there's darkness. And if you're remembering Krishna, Maya cannot exist if you are remembering in a proper service spirit. So, this great Paramhamsa, Vaishnava, Lord Brahma, he is here describing that even those who are in the impersonalistic school, they are also covered by illusion. Because they cannot perceive the supreme transcendental nature of your divine form. They consider that your personality, that your form, that your divine attributes are just some temporary manifestation of a much bigger, all-pervasive, impersonal existence. This also is an illusion. It is a transcendental illusion, but it is an illusion. They cannot understand the actual truth that Krishna's form is Satchit Ananda Vigraha. And as Lord Brahma explains in the Brahma Samhita, that the impersonal Brahma Jyoti is simply the effulgent rays emanating from the body of Krishna, but Krishna's body, his form, is the source of everything. It is utterly transcendental. Materialists are thinking, I am this body. They do not understand the eternal soul under the bewilderment of Maya. But even so-called liberated souls, when they realize fully that they are not this body, they are still under the illusion. They cannot comprehend the transcendental nature of Krishna's form and qualities. So we can see that even those persons who have completely abandoned all material desires, who have completely detached themselves from all attachments in this world, who have such incredible control of their senses that they actually attain the state of mukti or liberation, but they're still illusioned. They still cannot understand what is the divinity of Krishna's supreme personality. They think that Krishna's form is a temporary manifestation of Brahman, although it is the source of Brahman. They think that Krishna is like us, but just more powerful. Avajananti mam mudha manusim tanamashrita param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. How Krishna covers their intelligence. Duryodhana saw the universal form right in his own palace. Krishna came on a mission from Yudhisthira to try to stop the war. Duryodhana was thinking that Krishna, he is the life and soul of the Pandavas. If we imprison Krishna, then the Pandavas will not have the will to fight. So he ordered his soldiers to attack Krishna, to put him in chains and to put him in prison. And when they attacked, Krishna manifested the Virat Roop, such a form nobody has ever seen, and Duryodhana was watching it himself. And yet, still, he's thinking that we will defeat them. How is it possible? When Arjuna saw that universal form, he completely surrendered his life. But when Duryodhana saw him, some mystic, some magician, avajananti mamudha. People even who believe in the Bhagavatam in India today, we meet them all the time. Oh yes, Krishna was very powerful. Yes, we accept he did all those things. He was just a very powerful man. You know, he lived in a previous age and he was just a very powerful man. But he was a politician and he had too many wives and he was doing all things that were not correct. Huh? People say like this. The power of Maya, even though they see Krishna's pastimes, they hear about his glorious form and activities, and they still think that he's a little better than us. But he's still just a person, just one little part within the Supreme. Huh? This is the power of Maya. Therefore, Krishna says, to enter into the mysteries of my understanding, you have to be my devotee and surrender to me. There's no other way. Even some of the greatest thinkers in India, they accept Bhagavad Gita. They read Bhagavad Gita every day. And yet they claim, they don't believe that it's actually a historic incident where Krishna spoke it. Because how could Bhagavad Gita be spoken by someone who was acting immorally by stealing butter and dancing with other men's wives? Not possible. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is a great lesson to learn. I'll read it every day. I'll advocate the whole world to read it because the principles are so wonderful. But historically, there's no possibility that Krishna could have spoken it. Huh? Believe me, one of the greatest, most popular people in all of India's history says like this. And he was one of the greatest advocates. He even made a commentary of Bhagavad Gita. But he doesn't believe in Krishna. So even though his words are right in front of us, how is it possible that we can't understand who it's being spoken by? The supreme cause of all causes. In his eternal supreme form. This is the power of illusion. This is the power of Maya. Therefore, Krishna says, Bhaktosimesha kasyeti rahasyam hetadutamam. Only my humble devotees can understand the mystery of my true nature. And here we are being given the confirmation of the original guru of this universe, Lord Brahma, and the father of all living beings, and the supreme creator of this universe. He is explaining that this potency of Maya is too much. Daivi heshu gunamai mama maya duratyaya. Unless you surrender to Krishna, there is no way out of the illusion of the ignorance of darkness of Maya. And this is our good fortune. Om agyan timirandasya gyananjana chalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmoy sri guru venama. Even what was incomprehensible for Lord Brahma to come out of this illusion is so easy if we just accept with a submissive attitude the words of our spiritual master. And we simply apply these words to our life. He removes the illusion of Maya by his grace, his divine grace. As Krishna's messenger, he has the power to dispel all ignorance in our life. As Krishna's humble servant, he reveals through his example humility and service, complete dependence on the mercy of God at every step. If we simply follow the teachings and the examples of such souls, then the acharyas explain that all the powers of Maya are like a venomous serpent with its fangs, teeth broken. Maya can just do all kinds of scary maneuvers to threaten us. But as long as we are humbly serving our Gurudev and the Vaishnavas, she can do nothing to us. Like a cobra with broken fangs, she looks very frightening and can try to bewilder us in so many ways, but Maya has no power over Krishna's devotees. So let us always remain like specks of dust at the lotus feet of Guru and the Vaishnavas. And in this way, we are always safe and protected by all from all the powers of material energy. Daivi Heshu Gunamai Mama Maya Dratya. Just surrender to me. Recently, one of the Brijabasis were saying that, you know, it is said in the Shastra that we should not praise another person because that person is such an insignificant jiva, that they're really not praiseworthy. Only praise should go to the Supreme Paramatma. But then we explained, but the jiva that is completely surrendered to the Paramatma is like a speck of dust at his lotus feet. And that speck of dust is never separated from the feet of Krishna. So when you praise the speck of dust, you're actually praising the lotus feet of Krishna. Huh? So let us all strive to take shelter of those specks of dusts, those jivas who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. And by doing that only do we attain the lotus feet of Krishna. And by the mercy of Gurudev, he also, by his causeless grace and kindness, he applies our own soul as a speck of dust on the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Yes.
I think this is the practical problems for our movement, that as you have said, that many of the great preachers, many of the big gurus, Maya's position is so strong that they also have been bewildered. And the problem for us is that, supposing it so happens that we come into the movement by getting some inspiration from some devotees or some people, and then due to Maya's attack on that devotee, if that devotee has been bewildered or he fall down, we feel it very disturbed, sir, that because we got an inspiration from that devotee, and if he has fallen down, we feel it very disturbed that whether we are on the right path or what has gone wrong altogether, because it is our whole source of everything to him. Whatever he says, we used to follow him. And supposing there is anything wrong with him, we also feel it a very big setback in our spiritual life. So in that circumstances, what should we do altogether?
If we are sincere, Krishna will protect us. If we are sincere, Krishna will guide us forward. And we'll learn from all of this. Any devotee who takes us higher in Krishna consciousness, we are eternally indebted to that person. Api sech sutaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak. Even if that person becomes abominable, still, because of his service to Krishna, he's still very special. And we have to always be grateful that, oh, this person has given me so much, I'm eternally grateful. Let me pray that he can continue advancing. But Krishna's taught that in any position, if a little pride comes, look at what can happen. So how much more I must be careful. And then if we just continue on, Krishna will send us to someone who can continue taking us like that. If we are sincere, nothing can disturb our Krishna consciousness. That is what is most important.
You said that it takes one to know one. So it means that only a pure devotee would be able to understand another pure devotee, who he is and his qualities and characteristics.
Sometimes so, even pure devotees don't understand other pure devotees. What? Krishna likes to keep things in such a way that only he understands.
So if that is the case, then people who are expected to identify a pure devotee and surrender to him.
The fact is, you don't know what a pure devotee is. But you don't know, but there are certain signs by which it indicates someone worthy taking shelter of. And we accept that person as a pure devotee on the basis of faith, but we don't really know. If we're sincere, Krishna will bring us to someone who can actually take us back to Godhead. But that's just on the basis of our sincerity, not on the basis of our knowledge. If you read the scriptures and you hear from the previous acharyas, the sadhus, we can understand what are the qualities of a pure devotee. Huh? And on the basis of that, we must judge who to follow. Without the guidance of sadhus, without parampara, we're lost. We simply accept the conclusions of the Vaishnava parampara, of what is the truth according to Shastra, who we should take shelter of, who we should follow. Huh? And if someone is repeating the message of parampara, and if someone is following those teachings and dedicating, sacrificing his life to following those teachings, then we accept that person as a pure devotee and follow him. But we really don't know if he's a pure devotee or not. Huh? What the innermost recesses of his heart are saying, how do you know? But you have faith. We can know one thing. The person is acting like a pure devotee. And he's speaking like a pure devotee. That we can know. But whether he actually is a pure devotee, that Krishna knows. Huh? But if someone is acting and speaking as a pure devotee, that person can bring us back to Godhead as long as he's acting and speaking like a pure devotee. But to actually know, you have to become very, very advanced, extremely advanced. And even if you're extremely advanced, still, pure devotees are jivatmas. They are not necessarily mystical people who know the innermost recesses of everyone's heart. Huh? But if someone is simple, humble, surrender to his guru, repeating the words of his guru, living with total surrender to the mission of his guru, then that person, as far as we are concerned, we should say, he is a pure devotee. And we can follow him as a pure devotee. And Krishna will, with all of Krishna's power, we will receive his divine grace.
So from this, can we also conclude that if we try to understand somebody's deep recesses of the heart, as you said, there is also a Maya situation, because then you are turning away from Krishna's heart and going to somebody else's heart.
Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vidyena Bhujai. It is said you cannot understand the activities of a great Vaishnava. Huh? Because great Vaishnavas, they defy the laws of logic. We can only understand by the quality of their repeating the word of God and they're surrendering to the will of God. But exactly why they do things and how they do things, you cannot understand the mind of great Vaishnavas. Therefore, with faith, if we are simple and sincere, and we really make a proper study with this simple and sincere desire in our heart, then Krishna will properly direct us. That is for certain. If we have cheating propensities, Krishna will send us to a cheater.
Devotee who is trying to develop the quality of humility, and those who are not really Vaishnavas, trying to become Vaishnavas, they take it that this humility, it is not a humility, it is his weakness. And whatever we are criticizing or blaspheming, out of humility he tolerates that criticism and all these things. But they think he don't accept the tolerance, but he says because he is doing that, he is keeping mum. So in that case, it should be a humble devotee, tolerating, keep on tolerating, or what is to be done? Because we are supposed to be humble.
It depends. If we have made mistakes, we should humbly admit that we've made mistakes. And this is my reaction. Huh? We shouldn't fight to defend our own wrongs. At the same time, if we haven't really, of course a devotee always thinks he's made mistakes. He never thinks I'm above mistakes. The devotee welcomes all criticism. If you only knew how bad I was, you would be speaking much worse. Huh? That is the humility of a devotee within. But if he's honestly and sincerely trying to serve his guru's mission and hasn't really made such serious mistake, then according to what will best serve his spiritual master, he must act. If it means to fight and to defend, if that's how we can best serve our Gurudev, then we should fight and defend. If it means just to sit silently and think, yes, yes, very good, just keep the insults coming, it's helping my Krishna consciousness. Huh? So we have to inquire from advanced Vaishnavas of how can I best serve? By just sitting back and becoming ultra-purified by the situation, or by fighting to protect the dignity of Guru's mission. In other words, we're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for Guru and Krishna. A devotee will never fight for himself. He'll only fight for Guru and Krishna. Arjuna is willing to leave the battlefield, and Krishna told him, you know, you're a kshatriya. If you leave the battlefield, everyone will think you're a coward. People are not going to think that you're doing it out of compassion. They're going to think you're doing it because you're just a scared coward. And for a kshatriya, dishonor is worse than death. Huh? But Arjuna didn't care if he was dishonored and considered a coward. But he was willing to fight because that's what Krishna wanted him to do. For Krishna's mission, he was willing to fight. But for his own prestige, he was not willing to lift even one arrow. We are not concerned with right or wrong. We are concerned with truth. Truth means seva to Krishna. As far as right or wrong and the relative sense of morality and immorality, let it be. But as far as the dignity of Guru's mission, that is truth. That we must defend.
You said that very powerful devotees in a movement, because of some pride which was left behind, they fell down terribly. Why is it they fall down so terribly for a little bit of pride? Why couldn't it just be corrected from within the heart? Krishna says, I purify within the heart if you are very sincere.
Prabhupada, his books, all of these great Vaishnavas are speaking in classes. Krishna gives so many indications, so many instructions. It's not that all of a sudden he just crushes. He gives so many signs, so many hints, so many very, very strong advice. But if we're too proud to take it, then there's no other way. There's just no other way. It's Krishna's last resort. If we're just not willing to listen to good sense, we're too much cataract by the disease of this ego that we can't even see what's right in front of us, and so many people are telling us, Krishna's telling us, the Vaishnavas are telling us, everyone, and we're just too proud to accept that that there's anything wrong, huh? It's the last resort. But it's really Krishna's mercy, because as soon as, like beating the husk, Krishna just smashes that husk for a little few years, maybe a life. And then once that's gone, that person is this far from Krishna. Huh? So they're still better than us. We should still offer them all respects as great sadhus, but from a distance.
until that husk is completely removed, we have to keep our distance. But we should still not ever criticize, because this is a very high-level surgery taking place. We cannot try to judge it. Huh? They are masters on the PhD level of Krishna consciousness, getting chastised by the teacher. We're still in Tinkerbell school. We have no right to try to judge the relations between such exalted souls and their guru and Krishna. Last question.
You were just mentioning how we should be so thankful to anybody who helps us in making even the slightest spiritual advancement. So whenever you are here, you are inspiring us so much by your lectures and by kirtans. So how we can repay the debt which we owe for inspiring us?
Actually, I am doing nothing. Your sentiments are very nice. And if you want to do something to repay, then you serve one another and love one another and put aside all of your criticisms of one another and really try to be the true brothers and sisters and really make this congregation a loving family of servants of Radha Gopinath. That is how you can best repay. In fact, that's all we want. Just strive to purify yourselves in this mood of loving relationships, because that will create an atmosphere which will attract the world to the lotus feet of Krishna. Prabhupada said, you can show your love for me by how you cooperate and serve one another. So ultimately the debt is to him. Humble service to the Vaishnavas. And striving to purify ourselves by chanting Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.